Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Bob Christopher is away today, but we welcome you anyway to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We are live, on the air, and online right now, and we'll be glad to address your question or offer direction for the difficult, frustrating issues of real life. We invite your calls right now at 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, the full number, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. It's Basic Gospel, and here is Richard Piper.
Well, thanks, Bob. Welcome, everybody. I want to add my welcome to Bob's. And this is a very important day in our country.
Yes, it is.
It's Martin Luther King Day. And for those of you who aren't old enough, you miss some really big stuff. I grew up with this.
Yes.
And seeing the changes that were brought about because people like Martin Luther King Jr. had the courage to stand up and say, we can do better.
Mm-hmm. And to do it nonviolently.
And to do it nonviolently. Yes. In spite of some of the violence perpetrated against him.
Absolutely.
And I want to tie today's celebration into what we've been talking about all month, which is the new covenant. Mm-hmm. You know, why would I try to do that? Well, because it makes perfect sense. What is it that we have received in the new covenant? We have received reconciliation. We're no longer separated from God by our sins. We have been given eternal life, which means now that we're in this direct, intimate relationship with God via the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. that relationship can work from us into other people. There is no need for the kinds of stuff that existed in our country that caused such horrible degradation for minorities in this country. Now, we've made great strides since the mid-60s, but there's still a lot of room to go. But here's the deal. You can't get equality by law.
Right.
Bible is full of examples where people tried to do things to improve their lot in life, to do all of this stuff through the law, and it never worked. And it doesn't work now, whether we're talking about trying to live under the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, or trying to write law after law after law here in the United States to make it all better. Mm-hmm. Law doesn't work. Even Martin Luther King agreed with that. Here's a quote, and I want to thank Vivian Foster for finding this and sending it to us. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Let me read that again. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Let me read you a place in the Bible which speaks directly to what Dr. King was talking about. This is in Galatians 3, and there's a couple of other places as well. This isn't the only place. Starting in verse 26, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Okay, so all of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior are now children of God through this faith that is now ours.
Right.
For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So there's the prerequisite. Here's the result. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That is an unbelievably important and powerful statement. If you want in your churches, and I'm going to speak to believers now, in your churches, your small groups, the little getting together for coffee that you might do, if you want to see unity in your relationships, then you must do it through the context of the new covenant. Because in Christ, all these artificial barriers that we put up, and most of them based on physicality.
Sure.
What color are you? What sex are you? Mm-hmm. You know, are you straight or gay? Or all of these things that we separate ourselves with. If you want to get rid of that stuff and find unity in Jesus Christ, here's where you do it.
Yeah.
Right here in the new covenant, because it removes all of those artificial barriers and makes us one in him.
Right.
That is the message of Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
And as much as we've gained over the last 30, 40, 50 years, as much as there is yet to go. Please, people, understand that you can never pass enough laws to cause someone to love unconditionally. Loving unconditionally is beyond us. Only in Jesus Christ is that made possible. And boy, does he make it possible when that happens. It's an incredible blessing. And all the fear goes away. All of the prejudice goes away because we are all one in him. Yeah. That's basic gospel. That's new covenant.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this edition, everybody. We have plenty of open lines at 844-32-BASIC. We'd love to address your question on this edition. If you have something you'd like to add to the conversation, this is a good opportunity right now. The best one you'll have today, as a matter of fact. Again, 844-32-BASIC. We want to hear from you right now. Give us a call. In the meantime, let's go and talk with our friend Saab, who's calling from England, from London. And Saab, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Saab.
Hi, Richard. And is Bob not today?
He is away today. One of the Bobs is.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah.
We still have a spare, though.
So. Yeah, yeah. That's why we keep a couple here in the studio.
Anyway, Richard, today I just want to talk about in tongues, speaking in tongues.
Okay.
I knew a little bit like tongues in speaking in another language, another country, another nation language.
Mm-hmm.
So in Acts, in chapter at chapter 2, is talking about tongues.
Yes.
I mean, let's say when they received new tongues, how do they understood what they're speaking?
Are you multilingual yourself? I mean,
say
do you
again?
Speak more than English now? Do you speak French or Italian or anything
no.
else? Okay.
No.
Neither am I. But I have talked to people who are fluent in multiple languages. And the fact is that they think in those languages. They're not, in my case, I wouldn't be thinking in English and trying to translate to Spanish or French. If I was really fluent in multiple languages, if I needed to talk to someone in French, I would be thinking in French because I am so fluent in that language. So as far as the disciples were concerned, when they started teaching this gospel, when the Holy Spirit came on them and they just broke forth into this explanation of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished, they were literally thinking in whatever language they thought they were speaking. Because the Holy Spirit gave them that information. It's the Holy Spirit's job to reveal the things of Christ to us, to bring back to our remembrance the things that he taught, to give us information about what those things mean so that we can share them with others. So they were just speaking what they knew based on what the Holy Spirit had revealed. In Acts 2, it says that when the crowd heard this, they were amazed because each one heard their own language being spoken. And so what God did for them at that moment was that they heard what the disciples were saying in their own language. They didn't know if the disciples were speaking that language or not, but they were hearing it in that language. And so you've got this thing happening with the Spirit that both the sender and the receiver are communicating in the Spirit. It wasn't a trick. It wasn't anything else. No, pardon?
Yeah, I understood all these things.
Okay.
But the disciples, when they receive new language, before they never speak that language before, right?
Correct.
So how do they understood? What is that meaning of it? Let's say I don't speak French. If God gave me the French speaking language in me, so I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know what I'm telling to them.
As far as the disciples were concerned, they were speaking the truth of God in themselves. They understood what they were saying. They didn't realize necessarily that they were speaking a foreign language. That's the nature of this gift. It's the Holy Spirit initiating both into the speaker, the sender, and the listener, the receiver, to hear the truth in the way I need to say the truth or the way I need to hear the truth. It's all of the Spirit, I'm not in control of this. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. I am just sharing Jesus with someone, and they hear what they need to hear. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm speaking what the Spirit has revealed to me. That's why it's a gift of the Spirit. It's not something we humans do.
Okay. So something we're studying that language now, we don't have any problem, isn't it? That English is a common language now. So now, let's say I'm studying other languages, so I'm preaching that. So that's not a gift, isn't it?
Not necessarily. It isn't. However, as much language information as we have in this world, you know, there's ways to learn other languages. I know several people who have at various times been in a situation where at the end of the situation they realized that, well, I'd never studied that language, and I'm talking to someone who hasn't studied my language, and yet we were conversing. That must have been the Spirit. Okay, so again, this is the Spirit's initiative. Now, if the Spirit is telling me, and I'm planning to go to Mexico, for example, on a missions trip, the Spirit would be telling me, Richard, you need to become conversant in Spanish. But even if I studied Spanish for a long number of months or even years, chances are I wouldn't be speaking Spanish in a way that captures the nuances of someone who is a native Spanish speaker. And so even if I know enough Spanish to get along, the Spirit still has to reveal the meaning of the words, the meaning of the gospel as I present it to somebody. So it's not something that I really prepare for. I can do some preparation, but if I'm not speaking in the Spirit, I'm not speaking at all. And that's the nature of all spiritual gifts. That's why they're so incredibly important, that you know we have to rely wholly on the Holy Spirit in order to communicate the things of God to other people in a way that makes sense for them.
Right. Okay. But that time, these tongues was so important because languages are very narrow. But now the English is like a common language. Everybody will understand when we speaking in English, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, you and I speak English together. I will guarantee you that whatever truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, I am communicating to you is being done because the Holy Spirit is making sure that I tell you the truth. And even if I get something wrong and the Holy Spirit wants you to understand, he's going to make sure that you understand what I'm saying. That's the point here. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a human thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
That helps, Ab?
Yeah, it's help.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah, before we go talk to Lucy, let me add one more thing.
Thanks, Ab.
There is, you know, when you read 1 Corinthians, for example, since we're talking about Martin Luther King Day and the New Covenant, what the Corinthians were doing was the exact opposite of, you know, no male or female, slave or free, Jew or Gentile. They were separating themselves based on presumed gifts. This is my gift, therefore I'm better than you. And Paul said, not on your life. That's not how it works. This is the Spirit's instigation. Our job is to respond to the Spirit and do so humbly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's a blessing. Otherwise, it's a curse.
Absolutely. Listening online, here's our friend Lucy in San Diego. Hi, Lucy. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Bob.
Hi there.
Are you the spare?
He's the spare.
I'm the spare today.
Yeah, I'm the only Richard here. So if I'm gone, there's no other Richards.
If I'm a bowling ball, I just get you cleaned up. That's
a good one. Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
The whole staff. I appreciate and love all each and every one of you. And I'm calling today about the armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've spoken on this before, but I need a refresher on it.
Okay.
Because I just heard a preacher that's going to be preaching on it and, you know, the steps to take to put on the armor of God. And I've heard others say, oh, so and such went out and she had a really bad day. And I asked her, well, did you put on the armor of God? She said, no. Well, that's your problem, you know. That doesn't confuse me because I don't think that's the way it works anyway. But I am somewhat confused about the put on part because I maybe have assumed incorrectly that we have the full armor of God always. So can you help me with that?
Sure. Paul is emphasizing to the Ephesians in chapter 6 that the issue here is not that we're struggling against flesh and blood. It's not you and me, Lucy, arguing about something. We are wrestling against rulers and authorities and the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In short, we are fighting a battle we couldn't possibly win in our own strength. And he's reminding them that indeed they have been given all of this armor. But we as humans find it very easy to forget that we've been given this armor. And so we forget to put it on. And we go charging out into the world and say, okay, I'm going to take it all on. And we wonder why we get pounded into the pavement. Instead, what he's reminding the Ephesians is, you have been given this armor, but you must walk by faith in the fact that you have it on. So in fact, by faith, think of it as putting it on. Visualize it, if you will, that you have this armor on, the helmet and the shield and the breastplate and the sword of the Spirit, all these things, because then you realize that it's not me that's doing it. In much the same way as we were just talking with Saab about tongues, it's not me who is fighting the battle. It is all of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is the only one who can fight in the spiritual realms. I cannot. And so also notice that what he talks about when you've got this armor on is not about charging out and, you know, taking the streets for Jesus. The thing we do once we have the armor on is to stand. I mean, literally, just to stand, because that means Satan is attacking us. And when we are responding by faith to what the Holy Spirit has given us, and in fact then realize that we have put on all of this armor that the Holy Spirit has granted us, then all we have to do is stand there, because the Spirit is the one doing the battle. And my standing there is not in my strength, it's in the Spirit's strength. It's not based on my wisdom or my ability or anything else. It is me submitting to the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit can fight the spiritual battles. And you know, he's fighting it, but he's using me. He might use my words. He might use my thoughts. He's doing all this stuff, but it's the Spirit that does the work. It's the Spirit who initiates into us, flows through us to others, and makes it possible for us to stand, even in the onslaught of whatever Satan throws at us.
Okay. It's kind of like when people say, oh, it's not me, it's all of Jesus. But it's all of Jesus and all of me.
Correct.
So,
yeah, I used to say a lot, oh, it's not me, it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. But that was false humility.
Yeah.
I was just trying to cover up for my lack of effort. it truly is when we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, very God has taken up residence inside of us, and our words and our actions are now based upon what the Spirit is teaching us to do. It's an amazing, amazing relationship that we've been invited into.
Yes, and I'm learning as we go along so much more of that, and it's humbling, and yet it's exhilarating at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's, he's not letting us go, and
no.
we have a part, mm-hmm. because he's given us a part.
Yes.
Not because we...
He gives it to us, he's defined it beforehand, and we get to discover what that is.
Yeah.
Right. It was just the put on that... You know, I think, well, we already have this.
Yeah.
What is the...
Well, again, there are so many admonitions in the Pauline writings and in the other writers in the New Testament. And what we tend to do is we leave all of the stuff that they talk about in the beginning of their letters about what it means to be a child of God and what God is doing in and through us. And we say, ooh, here's the command. Here's what I should do. And if you keep the whole thing in context, you go, well, yes, it's a command, but the first command is to walk by faith, and the second command is to do as God has given you to do. So it's very difficult, but it's quite obvious and easy when you think about it.
Well, thank you again. You always help me, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you,
Lucy.
Thanks
for calling.
Thanks for being a friend.
Yeah.
Well,
good to hear.
I'm glad you're my friend and Doug's friend.
Yes, indeed.
We cherish you.
Yeah.
Very much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So we love you. Let you go, and thanks again.
Okay.
Blessings
to
you both, Lucy.
Bye bye. Okay. Bye.
Queens, New York. Let's talk to Michael, listening on WMCA. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, hi. I was listening to what you said about putting on the full armor of God, and I think this week, especially this week with the Martin Luther King holiday and also the March for Life coming up in D.C., we have to fight things like hatred and abortion and gay marriage, and we have to fight for righteous causes. The powers of darkness are very real in our society. And I believe we have to be like St. Michael the Archangel and fight the principalities and the powers of darkness in our culture that are espousing things like gay marriage and euthanasia and abortion. That's all I have to say right now.
Yeah. Well, Michael, thank you. There is an aspect of what you're saying that is true, and then there's an aspect of it that can be very dangerous. When God gives a person a mission, God also empowers that person for the mission, regardless of what the mission is. So there are those who are called to take the truth of God into various societal situations. There are others who will see the unfairness of something or the wrongness of something, and because they have gotten upset in their own spirits, in their own minds, and they want to do something about it, but they don't wait for the Spirit to take them there, then they get out ahead of the Spirit and they're working in their own strength and bad things happen. And we've got to be very careful of that. So I absolutely believe that children of God are called to represent Jesus in our society. But just as strongly, I believe that each child of God must be responding to the Spirit's initiative in order for this to work. The last thing that God has ever called us to do is to form up a bigger group than somebody else can get and go out there and by the strength of our own arguments, defeat them. That's not how it goes. Love is the thing that changes people. Let's talk about abortion. Don't talk about the legality or illegality of it. But I am convinced that if more Christians responded in a positive manner to kids or even adults who get themselves into unwanted pregnancies, if we had a way of talking to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about the forgiveness that is theirs in Him, about the fact that if they're a child of God, they don't lose that status because they got somebody pregnant or that they got pregnant, I think we would have a far easier time dealing with abortion than when we judge people and push them into the arms of the worldly. And so we've got to be very careful about this. I will never doubt that people are called into these battles, but just as much when they're called, they are equipped. And those of us who haven't been called and equipped should not go charging out there on our own.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Richard. Thank you for that. Friends, you know, giving through Basic Gospel helps to ensure that others will hear and hear the same good news that you've heard. Every day you hear truth that has the power to set us free from the myriad things that encumber us and can rob us of the joy of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Your gifts help keep us on the air and online, proclaiming Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection and His life each day. If you'll remember Basic Gospel and your giving, we'll keep broadcasting the truth of the Word on Basic Gospel. You'll find a support link when you visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can phone your gift to 844-41-BASIC. Speak with Billy, our operator. Again, that number, 844-41-BASIC. Either way is a great way to support the proclamation of the truth of God in the new covenant in Jesus Christ. And thank you for each one of you, to each one of you who has been a part of that through the years. I want to remind you also very quickly that there are many valuable resources available to you in our online store, and you've got to find them at store.basicgospel.net. Look around. I think you'll be pleased with what you find. Well, we invite you to be with us again tomorrow. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me, Bob Davis, saying God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.